Good morning and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And yes, we're back. These Tuesdays are awesome. And in studio with me is Pastor Justin Kenton, campus pastor for one of my favorite churches on all the planet, Centerpoint Church. He's at our French Valley campus.
Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Craig. I appreciate it.
Man, I tell you, it's even getting started this morning. We had a couple of challenges and hiccups, but I know that means that we're supposed to be here. And we had talked last year when I was on air about getting together and recording shows, recording broadcasts. And so those of you who don't know what our topic is today, so let's introduce it. It's really, so you know how I feel. That's the topic of the book that we're working on. And Justin is one of the people who've consented to come and share their story. Because so often, like Justin and I were talking before we started airing today, was so often we have things in our life. People really think they know how we feel or our situation or you feel about a certain situation. And there's that philosophy. And then there's our side of the story. So in these series, we're going to talk about, you know, our sides, my sides of the story, some God, only God typical moments in our lives with our stories as being husbands, fathers, in Justin's case, pastors, you know, teachers, preachers, even to the husbands and fathers.
Totally.
So Justin, share with us some of your story about so the people understand who you are.
Yes, I grew up in Tri-Cities, Washington, which is a small town. I didn't know it was a small town until I moved to California, and then I was in the military for 5 years in the Marine Corps, and then became a pastor pretty much right after that. I was an entrepreneur for a while. I owned multiple businesses, and then I gave all that up to serve the Lord and follow the church and just serve his people. And there's been many challenges in all of those seasons of life. And of course, as men, we always try to put a front up of strength, of that we have it all together, that we've, you know, got it figured out. And most cases, that's not the truth. A lot of us are probably too sensitive to allow for that to be there, you know, allow for those moments of weakness or those moments where, honestly, those moments of strength, because we call it weakness, but it's really the getting through something that what is what makes you a man and what makes you a follower of God, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's outstanding. And I've always thought about it very much similar like that. So there's so many men out there. So they teach us, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in the military, that we're supposed to be strong. Mm-hmm. Buck up, man.
Yes.
You know, and the drill sergeants drill it. And again, I'm not bashing the military. I'm very much pro-military, very pro. My dad served 26 and a half years in the Navy, and I understand that struggle. In fact, he always wanted me to pick up his rank before he left. He was a E9 Master Chief. And I said, Dad, I could do that if I can get beyond the whole basic training thing. I just couldn't understand anybody yelling and screaming at me and then wants to call me brother. I didn't get the concept, but later in life, I got it when I became a parent.
Right.
When we needed our parent, your drill instructors needed to make sure they knew, and when we knew what we were going to do under fire, under stress, under duress. So if you can get through basic and you get your body into the groove with what it looks like, when it really comes down to get it right, it's automatic.
Absolutely. And military training, I think, set my mindset in a completely different way, because it allowed me to go through those high stress points.
Sure.
So that later on in life, when I started a business and lost the business, or you know, working through, a lot of people are afraid of sales and things like that because of the stress of dealing with rejection. And I'm grateful for the military because it taught me that I could do a lot more than I thought I could do. It took you to that breaking point to where you know, like, oh, I can go through all of this and get to this point where I finally break. But then you know, like, oh, okay, these other stresses, those aren't that big of a deal. Yeah. I can get through so much more than this. And so, it helped me a lot in life through three successful and failed businesses, as well as, you know, pastoring and working with people, where there's a lot of high points of stress for people. Sure. You know, as a pastor, you're carrying so many people's stresses. You're carrying marriages, you're carrying addictions, you're carrying all of these things for people, and then having to give that to the Lord and be okay in the midst of that tension. And so, yeah.
Well, you've touched on a couple of the points we're getting ready to talk about today. Okay. So you've opened a great segue. So let's talk first. Owning a business owner, that's supposed to be so glamorous, right?
And, right.
You know, people look at, oh, you own a business. You mentioned you own three successful businesses, and then you also caveated with failed businesses.
It's true.
On the outside, if we look and say, oh, Justin, you own businesses. You're rolling. You're this and that. There's that side of the story, how you're supposed to be. You must be this. You must be that. You must be. Right. What's the real be? What was the real R? Share with us how the businesses were and what you thought and how you managed that, how they impacted your family on while they were going. And then where were you after?
Right. One of the businesses that I'm most proud of and enjoyed it was doing web-based marketing. I did web-based marketing back in 2008, 2009, and I got out of that business in 2009. But what happened with it is I had a lot of success very early. I was in my early 20s. And everyone thought I was going to retire by the age of 23. I had a lot going on. I had a lot of connections, working with multimillionaires out of Seattle, and it was awesome. I mean, I went through a lot, but I also got a big head because of it. And my pride took over. And I had a mentor in my life that had said, Justin, you know, that you want to know the worst thing about you? And I was like, okay, well, what is that? And it's always good to have good mentorship. And he said, you know, you've got a lot of potential and you're not using any of it. And at that time, I was far beyond my peers in success. And I had a company that employed about 52 people, and it was awesome, and it was a great thing, but it was one of those things that if I would have listened to him during that time, I probably could have learned a lot from his experiences. You know, I believe that people learn one of two ways. They either learn by metaphor, or they learn by 2x4. And you either learn through someone else's experiences or through your own.
Yes.
And so, I got to experience a lot of success, a lot of glamour, a lot of people looking at me going, wow, and wanting to hear what I had to say and my experiences were. But at the same time, when you fail and when it doesn't work out and when that pride does fall, how do you respond, and what does it come to at that point when no one is wanting to hear what you have to say, and then you have that failure hanging on you? Success is built from the building blocks are failure. So learning from failure to failure is what makes someone successful.
Well, that's good. That's really good. Now, even when you looked at, we think of people looking at us even on the failure side. Did you have people ridiculing you and making bad statements about you when it was failing on the outside? So there's that view of what you look like to them on the fail, and then there's, you've already mentioned how you felt on your side of the story. How did that even affect the family life?
Family,
or were you married?
Definitely challenging. Yeah, it was. I'd just gotten married. We didn't have any kids, so that was a blessing. I had just gotten out of the military, so I started my first business while I was in the military. All my buddies made fun of me because I was out in a suit and tie at night while they were probably sitting back at the barracks, you know, and drinking some Kool-Aid, for better words. But so that was always challenging, trying to become something and be something in the midst of, you know, hanging around people who, you know, more or less settled for average.
Sure.
And, but yeah, once I failed, of course, everyone said, see, I told you so. You should have never done that.
Yeah.
Never made any sense. You know, you should have just worked on this area of your life instead of that.
Sure.
But I wouldn't have traded it for the world, because I learned so much on how to work with people, how to deal with people, how to have relationships, how to work through failure. Those kinds of things set me up to be able to be a good husband and to be a good dad, to be a good pastor, to understand that failure isn't final, and that that you can push through it. And people's opinions only go as far as they're going to pay your bills, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not paying your bills, then why do you take their input so much? You know, for me, most people are afraid of failure, so they never try.
Yeah.
And so I knew that I was already a step ahead of most people just because I tried and failed at it. So
now, were you a Christian during that time?
Yes.
And were you able to? How did your faith help keep you standing.
Yes, actually, during that season of my life is some of the best tithe stories I have. Because your best stories and your best overcoming is in the point of struggle.
Sure.
And so for my wife and I, my wife had more of a childlike faith. She was always right at God's word. So if God said, you know, if you give, he'll give unto you,
sure,
she believed it. And for me, I was thinking, if I give, I'm not going to be able to pay this bill, or sure, we're going to be out on the street, or this is going to happen. And my faith wasn't at the same level as hers. But it was during those seasons when God would say, you know, hey, give me $200. And I'm like, oh, I only have $800 and my rent is $1,400.
Sure.
How am I supposed to do that?
Sure.
And, but it was during those times where he would show off, and all the sudden checks would come in the mail that I didn't expect, and he would do things that would show me his faithfulness. And so during those seasons of mine and my wife's life are probably the seasons we treasure the most.
Wow.
Because we watched God move in our life when we were down to nothing.
That's amazing.
And so yeah, my faith is definitely a big part of getting me through those seasons.
That's awesome. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come right back, we're going to definitely talk about more about So You Know How I Feel, my side of the story. Again, you're listening to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And in studio with me, great man of God, great friend, Pastor Justin Kenton.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back. Again, you're listening to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. In studio with me, Justin Kenton. Justin, last segment we were sharing about where you were with a business,
mm-hmm,
your side of the story about a business you had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk again more about pastorship.
Yes.
You're a pastor of a great church, the French Valley Church, one church, two locations,
mm-hmm,
great philosopher, great, you know, head senior pastor, John Hansen. Now, when I look at think of pastors, I'm a PK. So I'm, those who don't know, I'm a preacher's kid, right? I have my side of what I viewed,
yes,
what it is to be a preacher's kid. What is it like to be a preacher? There's limelight, mm, every Sunday, every day. There's people calling, texting, oh, pastor, pastor. Even from
that's
wanting
true
to be in your face about something,
mm-hmm,
good, to be seen, to be known,
mm-hmm,
putting you on a pedestal, like in or in place of their God.
Mm-hmm.
You praying for them, the weight of the world, like you had mentioned before, on them. Tell us what it is to be a pastor to you.
Yes, being a pastor, I mean, there is. There's so many amazing parts of being a pastor. You get to be a part of the most important seasons of people's lives. Whether it's, you know, getting married, and that's one of the most exquisite things you get to do as a pastor is seeing people commit to each other for the rest of their lives with, you know, they've got these starry-eyed moments where they're looking at each other and thinking about their future, and yet in the back of my mind knowing that I might see you in a few months when you're learning how challenging marriage is. And you get that honor, and then you also get to be a part of those important times, like when they experience loss,
yes,
when they experience a loss of a loved one.
Sure.
And being there for a memorial and doing those things. And so There is so much that a pastor carries, and then at the same time, it affects the family life in a huge way too, because everyone is demanding of your time, and they're in need of that mentorship and hearing a good word. But there's also realizing that I have a wife and kids. And,
but wait, it's not always sermons and praise and worship in your house?
Oh, you know, and we don't only just work on Sundays, despite popular belief.
You're ruining this. Everybody, I'm kidding.
So if you're going through Bible college right now, don't worry about it. You can make it through, but it is not going to be easy. And that's why, you know, in God's word, it says that, yes, there is a double portion waiting for pastors and ministers, but at the same time, there is a double judgment as you're carrying the weight of the people and you're feeding his sheep. So, yes, it is a challenge. It is awesome. It is wonderful. But it is not all sunshine and rainbows, that's for sure.
Now, how did you get involved in ministry? I mean, you said you did from a younger age, but what led you there? How did you know to get there and stay?
Well, for me, as a kid, I grew up in a church called Calvary Chapel up in Washington State. And I had learned a lot about the Word of God through that ministry. I spent a lot of time. One of the things I loved about my pastor, Steve Winery, he had let me know. He said, you know, Justin, if you are going to study God's Word, you can't just trust what I say as a pastor. You need to go study it yourself. And that was some of the best wisdom that I had ever received, because I spent my teenage years just reading God's word, and I might have been considered a nerd as I would sit and read concordances, trying to understand these different words and what they mean in Hebrew and Greek, so God kind of put me through Bible college as a teenager, I became a youth pastor, or was on my way to becoming a youth pastor before I joined the Marine Corps, when I came down to Southern California, God lit me on fire, because I experienced what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I hadn't experienced any of that as a kid, and all of a sudden, the world opened up as I got to experience God's Spirit and going, oh my goodness, He wants to do so much more than just fill my head with knowledge, but instead fill my heart with passion and compassion for His people. And so that changed everything for me. So going from a youth pastor, becoming a Marine, and then a business owner, and then now back to being a pastor, I couldn't feel more honored to serve in God's house.
That's amazing. When you are sharing in those moments, how does where you are now, when you reflect back, how did you get here as a pastor? Out of all the experiences where you'd come from, those early success, the on fire to now. I mean, because when you have those God experiences, those, you think, oh, it's going to be like this all the time. Then, okay, now you're years later. The fire, I'm sure, is not, it's still hot. Yes.
Right.
But now you understand how to use it so it doesn't burn out so quick.
Right, yeah. Keeping that red-hot faith, that's always a challenge. But it is, you know, it's much like David said, you know, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. And I think about those moments and why. Why would it say that? Or why would David say that? And I think to myself, it's because no one else was encouraging him, that he had to go in and get that encouragement from the Lord. And we have to remember that, you know, because what I find as a pastor, you always have those people that'll say, wow, pastor, you're the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, I'm going to be here with you forever. Oh, and then a few months later, you're wondering, like, why they won't answer your calls. Yeah. And so you can't put your emotions on you know, the accolades of a man. Instead, just loving people no matter where they are. They might give you accolades today and they might criticize you tomorrow. But it's one of those things that you have to know that God called you to do this. God called you to be able to move forward. And if I were to put my emotions based on other people's opinions, I'm going to be all over the place. And so I have to make sure that I remember, like, that this was a God calling. This is His ordination. And no matter what anyone else feels around me, I have to make sure that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that I can have everything else added to me. It's definitely hard work seeing people, because people are fickle and they're going in different directions at different times. And I just giggle when they're excited and on fire. I'm like, yeah, man, go for it. But at the same time, when when they're downtrodden and it's challenging, I'll remind them, that's just part of it. That's part of faith.
Yeah.
You know, faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So you got to work through it.
Now, is this for your wife, the first church that she's actually not, well, pastoral?
Actually, no. This will be this is the second time. Chelsea and I, we were pastoring at another church in the area, and I was an associate pastor. She was a children's pastor there also, and so it was a great segue of what God wanted to do and how He did it. But we've been doing ministry together since, well, even in business we were doing ministry together. And one of the joys of owning your own business, you get to kind of determine what kind of feel or what kind of vibe you're going to have from it. And, and even though we were doing marketing, I spent so many times out with an associate, and we'd go down to the beach and just talk to him about God and talk to him about what those things were. And even in the corporate world, did the same thing. I got in trouble a lot more in the corporate world for talking about Jesus, but it was worth it. I mean, it was always one of those things. I never shoved God down anyone's throat. I always knew that He belonged in people's hearts, and so if they were asking me questions, it was an opportunity to be able to share with them what God has done in my life. And
that's
so,
awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, how was it working with your wife? Because again, there's the one side that looks, that either is going to look really glamorous and cool, and being able to have someone envy you for, I wish I could talk to my wife like that.
So
and you're with her home life, you're with her work life, and there's no way to really spend any time away, but there doesn't need to be,
right?
So how what's your side of that story of how you and your wife are able to have gotten to that point of being able to work, minister, and still live with each other? Because when I see you two together, my side of your story is, man, when the Lord allows me to marry again, I'd love to be able to have a relationship like that.
Come on. Yeah, that's definitely a great question. And my bride, Chelsea, she knows that I'm the type that I'm always going to put my dirty laundry out there. Sure. One of the things with her and I, we live in a glass house. Sure. I try to make it that way because I'd rather people see our failures and see where we fall short.
Sure.
So that they have the possibility of knowing, first of all, that we're human.
Sure.
That Chelsea and I, we are going to fail. We're going to mess up. And I'd rather that people see that so that they can see the comeback. If we try to project a perfect marriage or everything is always hunky-dory, it's going to be a false hope for people. And they're going to look at it thinking, oh man, I'll never have what they have. But for us, it's very challenging in pastoring and loving people, because it's one of those things, trying to share a relationship with just you and your spouse, as well as carry the relationships of so many other people and what they bring into it. It's one of those things, especially in a spiritual way, when you're dealing with someone's marriage and maybe you've been meeting with them for a few weeks and they're sharing all the dirty, hard, challenging things that they've gone through, and then you're thinking about your marriage, and sometimes you're more grateful for your marriage, thinking like, okay, you know what, we're doing a lot better than I thought, and then there's other times where you're thinking like, hey, we deal with that too, and that's really hard for us. So for Chelsea and I, it is one of the things we have to work at. It's not something that is easy. What's shown on the outside is never perfect, but we try to put our best foot forward and make sure that we're always setting a good example for people. But at the same time, when we're sitting down counseling with people, we'll air all of our dirty laundry and say, you know what? Yep, we went through cheating. We went through, same challenges and being at each other's throats, and marriage is marriage, and it's something you have to work at, and it's hard, but it's worth working at because it's a beautiful thing that God created.
That's a beautiful thing. It's a great segue. We're going to break early, only because I think that's an outstanding way to break, and it's going to give us time on the back end to really dig into that, because we're going to talk about marriage next.
All right.
We're going to walk right in. You've walked us right into that. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Our topic is So You Think You Know How I Feel. It's really my side of the story. We'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life. My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And we're back. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Justin Kenton in studio. We're talking so you know how I feel. My side of the story. Talking marriage, Justin. You walked us right through. You worked with your wife in business. You work with your wife in ministry. Or I should say you serve with your wife in ministry, even though I'm sure there's days when we all feel like it's work, right?
Yes.
But what's that look like? How did you guys meet? How did you guys meet? Where have you guys been through? And where are you guys at? I mean, marriage. I mean, I was married for just under 12 before I lost my wife, and I'm waiting for the Lord to do the next big thing, wife-related in my life, and I'm excited, but you're terrified at the same time. How did you two meet? Where are you at?
Yes, Chelsea and I met back in 2007, and this will sound kind of crazy, but I was actually engaged at that time when I met her.
Wow.
So I still had my high school sweetheart. I was engaged to my high school sweetheart. She went to a college up in at Gonzaga in Washington, and I was in the military down in San Diego. And so, but anyways, I met Chelsea. She had a boyfriend at the time also. And she was actually the sister of my business partner. Wow. And so I had gone to a leadership convention up in Portland, and was with my business partner. He's introduced me to all kinds of different people. It was pretty cool. And one of those people was his sister, Chelsea. And so I met Chelsea, and I fell in love with her smile immediately. She's got a dimple the size of, some craters, I think. But I used to joke with her on the phone because our relationship started long distance. Mm-hmm. And so we were on the phone all the time. And I used to joke with her that I could hear the ocean in the phone because of her dimple.
That would be considered to be a Mac tool there. Yeah.
There you go. So we started out, that's where we met. And a year later, we started dating. And a year after that, we got married. So we got married in 2009. And and that was my last year in the military. So she was a big part of that segue. I know that the economy got really bad around that time. So when I had the opportunity to get out of the military, it was I had a successful business at the time. She and I were working at that together, which was awesome because she grew up around business and stuff with her brother and her dad, and so she understood it. So it was a kind of a 1-2 punch, and we call ourselves that. We're a 1-2 punch. Everything that we do together, and awesome. God has always used us in that way, and it's been an honor to work with her, and I pray that it's an honor for her to work with me. Yeah. I know how challenging I can be at times, so we've always functioned in that way through the military time, that last year of military service, and then business. We were in business together all the way until recently. In 2016 is when we first stopped and stepped away from having a side business. This is actually the first season in my life since I was 19 years old that I didn't have a side business.
Wow.
So it's kind of been different. It's all been faith, just going, all right, God, you provide, and we'll see what you've got for us, you know. Sure. So
what would you say to people who are married or want to be married right now? And because I'm sure it the way you paint the story, it's like, oh, I just fell in love, and it's right. It's flowers and roses, but what was that looking like? How did that work together? How do you continue to mature that amongst all the calls and the clamor for both of your attentions, and even in the counseling, the preventing of the transfer of spirits from what someone else is dealing with that you all weren't, and not adopting that? How do you safeguard your family?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. For Chelsea and I, it's always putting God first. If we make sure that we have that part set, then a lot of the other things fall into place. I would say to any single people that are looking for that spouse, stop looking. Stop looking. The worst thing you can do is be searching for that perfect someone, because you're not going to find that by looking for it. Sure. And I always direct people back to Matthew 6:33, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And because it all comes down to that. If you seek after God and you're on that path toward God, you'll find your spouse.
Sure.
Because they're on that path too.
Sure.
And so, but when you're busy looking for your spouse and you're not on the path of God, you're going to go through a lot of broken relationships, yeah, a lot of challenges. And so for me, it was going after the vision that God had put in my heart at the time, which was becoming a business owner and learning how to do that and figuring it out. And on that path is where I found my bride. And it was one of those things where it didn't slow me down. Mm. You know, a lot of things for us, it was, you know, we both have a unified vision in going in the same direction. Okay. Now, didn't mean it was like that all the time.
Sure.
You know, you started with that, and then it became like, well, we need to do this or we need to do that. There's two minds coming together and sure, becoming one. I think I love when the Bible talks about two becoming one. It doesn't say two are immediately one sure, after making this commitment.
Yeah.
It's taking two jagged edges, pieces of metal, and fusing them together. It's not a pretty thing a lot of times with marriage,
sure,
that finding that smooth weld of what God wants to do of two people becoming one. And we're still in process.
Sure.
We've been married for 9 years and we're still in process of watching God
sure,
help us to become. Yeah.
So what's next for you guys? Where do you foresee you guys going? What's the desire for Chelsea and Justin in their marriage relationship?
Yes. We're actually, right now, we are awaiting our second child. Judah will be born anytime, probably in the next 2 weeks.
Boy. I miss the fact that you have another boy.
Yes, another boy. So raising men for me as
there
well.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So, and what's funny about that is before we had kids, Chelsea had had prophesied that we would probably only have boys because
wow,
of, she felt that because of the man that God had made me to be, mm, that he would want to make more men like me. And so I was grateful for those things. And then to see that is what's happening
sure,
with our second boy. And our son Noah, he's 5 years old. He'll be 6 in January. And it's been fun learning how to raise kids and that dynamic that adds to our life as well.
Yeah.
This season right now with all the getting the house ready and everything for the baby coming is different with having a kid already
yeah,
here. He's like, Dad, I want to play. Well, I got to clean for Mom. You know, so it's definitely a different dynamic. But our future, what Chelsea and I are praying for and hoping for is just to see God move in an amazing way in our valley.
Sure.
We've felt that God has put on our lives to help lead this valley and lead this valley to Christ. And
sure,
and so our passion and our hearts are anything and everything that we can do to make that happen, to make marriages. We tell our congregation a lot of times, you know, we have the opportunity to change the divorce rate in our city by, you know, what if we all stood together and decided that marriage is going to be something awesome and not something we needed to frown at, and how much that can make a difference if people heard, like, people don't get divorced that go to that church.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, like, and that takes personal commitment and
sure,
it takes, you know, putting your faith in God and not in your spouse, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
How do you find that you guys refresh?
Yes,
because I know the outside is,
yeah,
oh, you know, Justin just gave powerful messages, powerful word during the weekend, whether it be on the main campus in Marietta. It's because sometimes you dip between both, and when you deliver messages on Saturday on the main campus where I serve, and then you're back at French Valley right there delivering with your campus congregation right there, and then you got home congregation, and you know your son called coming up to you, Dad, in the service, running around, you picking him up. And I know for those who don't know, who've not been to our French Valley campus before, we meet currently at a school where it's a setup and a teardown.
Mm-hmm.
Not during the summer, of course, but during the school year, it's a all up and all down,
right?
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
And when you get home, I'm sure you're not ready to just remain in pastor mode. I know when I get home myself from 3 services, 4 total across the course of a weekend, I'm like, boys, don't, it's all I can do to come home and do the edit from the message, get them edited up on the screen, and I'm ready to fall out somewhere.
For sure. for sure.
How do you do that? How do you maintain through that? Any pregnant wife, do any moment, in fact, when the show airs, she probably would have already delivered because it'll air in a week.
Possible. Yes, absolutely. Very possible. Yes, we have a family nap on Sunday.
Yes.
So as soon as we get home from all of that, it is nap time. And Noah, he has a good time at church too, running around with all the other kids. And so, yeah, we're all pretty tuckered out by the end of that. And we try to take a nap. Sometimes we'll even go to a church service from somewhere else that night so that we can get filled up again. Because it's one thing to pour out all the time, and especially as pastors, it's good to connect with other pastors, you know, from other churches who have different visions and different things like that, to where they can sow into you what they have and what God's anointed them with. And it's definitely a positive and powerful thing. We're always there on Saturday night for the most part to receive from Pastor John so that we're ready to pour out on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday night, it's like, okay, we're depleted completely. Now it's time to get something back. And Mondays, and we try to reserve for family. So it's like I try not to answer phone calls or texts and things like that on Mondays unless it's absolutely dire and urgent.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just, you know, this last Monday, we were all in PJs all day long, did not do anything, watch some movies, just hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's, you definitely have to have that time. For us also, being in Southern California, going to the beach is a good refresher for us. Personally, I am a lover of hockey. I love the game.
No, I couldn't tell that with that Oilers cap you got on right there.
Right?
He's in Southern California, if you don't know where, that's where I'm based and we record. This is a Kings and Ducks country. This dude's sitting up in my house.
And that's it.
With the Oilers cap
Edmonton
on.
Edmonton Oilers. I got it on my watch, got it on my phone.
You're killing me, dude.
So I grew up in Washington State, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump over the border to Canada. Yeah. And I played hockey since I was 6 years old. And so I love the game. I'm now teaching my 5-year old. He's already better than I was at his age. And
I've seen your posts on that, man. Where in this area do you find an ice rink?
We drive down to Escondido.
Okay.
So we drive to Escondido. You can either drive to Riverside or Escondido. It's an hour, both either way.
Either way, yeah.
And so it's he's been doing really good. He's had about 6 months of being on the ice and learning and playing that. So it's been fun.
We're almost out of time for this segment. We got to come back. It's one last, man. These hours go by so quick. But tell us on the way out, Pastor. We'll say that for this next last segment. How are you connecting? Staying connected with Noah, your oldest. This is Pastor Justin, Father Justin, husband Justin. Father twice. Justin, how do you stay connected with your son? We're going to talk about that. Father staying connected with our sons on our last segment here on the Raise Men Show. We'll be right back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yobo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
And we're back. The Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Man, I love Tuesdays. Tuesdays have become my favorite day of the week. Sundays, people say, oh, yes, when Sunday comes. I get it. When Sunday comes, that's a great song. Ministers to a lot of people. But Tuesdays have become my new Sundays, you know.
There you go.
Tell us, in our last segment here, one of the key topics is going to be, how do we as fathers stay connected to our children? So in our case, our sons. Noah is how old?
He's 5. So he's just starting kindergarten. Even though he's so smart, he does homeschool with mom, and he's testing as a first grader, and he's just supposed to be starting kindergarten. So she just sat down with our teacher, and the teacher is saying, like, okay, so what is he learning? And he's right at the end of what he should be learning in kindergarten. Wow. He's just about to start kindergarten.
Sure.
And so, he's awesome. He's super high energy. He's more like me than I like to admit. And he's stubborn, but he's a great, great kid. Great kid.
That's pretty awesome. So you teach him, you coach him, teach him, instruct him in hockey.
Yes.
And you said with the drive back and forth from the ice house to home, do you find that to be bonding time? Do you find that just what does he require from God? What is his love language?
Yeah, for Noah, his love language is definitely quality time. Okay. He enjoys his quality time and physical touch. And so for him, he's constantly wanting to hug and wrestle and trying to teach mom that that's okay is a challenging thing as well. Boys are so much different than girls, and she thinks we're getting too rowdy, but that is bonding time. Getting punched by your 5-year-old is just kind of part of it. We just got to teach him that that's okay with dad, not so okay with mom or your friends, you know? So
or his baby brother coming,
right? Exactly.
Until he becomes the older baby brother.
So he enjoys our time together. Hockey is definitely a way that we are able to connect because it's separate from everything else. One of the great things about that drive is that Noah knows that this is special just for him. Right. So everything else around town, like our house, doesn't even become special for him anymore. Right. Because we have so many people that come to our house for pastoring and things like that. Okay. Being in a school for church, it makes our house a lot of times our church office.
Sure.
And so people are in and out and friends are in and out. And so even that sanctuary isn't there all the time.
Yeah.
But when we get to go and drive down to Escondido and go to the ice rink, that is our time to be able to say, this is just me and you, buddy.
Yeah.
And we try to go at least once a week. A lot of times now we're going twice a week. So we'll go on Tuesdays is our favorite day as well.
Sure.
That's
sure.
Tuesday night for him is hockey night. And then we try to work on some stuff together and just go do some stick time on Fridays.
Okay.
And go get a little bit more ice time, just he and I working on stuff. And so it's a lot of fun getting out there and watching this little 5-year-old skating around on hockey skates. Pretty cool.
Wow. Is he on a team right now?
He's not. He's just in the learning program in Escondido. It's actually a free program for kids that want to learn how to play hockey. So every Tuesday night is free for that. The stick time is only $10. So we get like an hour and 15 minutes for $10 and get out there and practice some stuff together.
Okay.
Less organized.
Less organized.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome because I know having 5 boys, it becomes very challenging to get that one-on-one time.
For sure.
I've been trying to implement that a lot around my house.
But,
and the kids are like, the ones that get the time or who have gotten that time, they're like, oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And the two that are either waiting their turn or who've had it and it's not their turn anymore, they're like, you know, and it's pretty wild. Going forward, how do you see your house changing? Because you all have had attempted a child before.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like now? Then the joy and then the waiting and the anticipating and wondering if on the way to delivery, share with us about that.
Yeah. So, and for Chelsea and I, and this might be good for some listeners who've maybe gone through this. This is one of the least talked about things that we found. And Chelsea and I have gone through 3 miscarriages in between Noah and Judah being born soon. Is that, and a lot of families and a lot of people don't talk about it, and a lot of people don't understand it. And so, what I've found with different people is that struggle that comes with that, and that pain that comes with that, and wanting to try again and wanting to have another child after you've lost. And so I would just encourage people that there are people that understand that, and it's okay to be open about it. And it's okay to talk about it because there's a lot of people that have gone through it and that just don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are super excited about Judah coming, and even Noah has been so amped that he's going to have a little brother. He's been putting his stuffed animals in the crib with little diapers on and things like that. And, And he's just, his little paternal heart is just beating. So that fatherly aspect that God has ingrained in us. And so it's been super fun as a family, just getting ready and prepared, and we're all very excited. And, you know, Chelsea and I have been working on breathing techniques and getting everything ready, because once the pain hits, can you go back to that muscle memory?
Man.
So, yeah, so it's been a lot of fun.
Wow, so you are any day now. So mm-hmm. again, when this show airs, you should have already been a father, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to go back and listen to this program going, yep, I remember I was rested on that day.
Right. Got to sleep in a little bit.
So what's the plan for you guys when she goes in labor and the baby comes? You taking downtime from church? How do you foresee short-term managing this new protective time?
Yes, that was a big part of the preparation. Was we actually just sat down with our team this last weekend and delegated everything that we do throughout the weekend on Sundays to our team, so that we can make sure that nothing falls through the cracks. But we will be taking 2 weeks off, and we've told our team and our congregation that we'll probably be on airplane mode on our phones, so you won't be able to get a hold of us. Sure. We're just going to take those 2 weeks and be totally secluded for that amount of time, unless there's an emergency, things like that. So it'll be some good family time, which is going to be a different dynamic, because when Noah was born, I was a business owner, and so I spent like pretty much the first 9 months with him and didn't have to really worry about it. I got to manage my time. There was nobody really demanding my time unless I decided it was going to happen.
Sure.
And so this season will be a little bit different. Still, you know, managing people and working with people, and also trying to have that time with our newborn.
Sure.
So, yeah.
How have you been able to manage your relationship with God from Noah, the three that mm-hmm. are still in heaven with him, mm-hmm. and then now Judah on his way, on the doorstep of mm-hmm. him coming? I mean, where have you found your story? Because people, I didn't know, I knew your wife had lost one, mm-hmm. I think before, because we were praying in terms of church body for her, but I didn't realize that it had been three.
Yes.
How have you managed your thought about God and that sovereignty, choice, to now?
One of the things that I know is that anything that you go through, any challenges that you go through, are most of the time not for you.
Yeah.
The challenges that we go through are for other people.
Sure.
Now, the reason I can empathize with someone who's gone through a loss like that is because I've gone through it. Yeah. And if I hadn't have gone through it, I would only be able to sympathize with them. Mm-hmm. I'd only be able to feel bad for them, but not really understand how they feel.
Sure.
And so Chelsea and I considered it an honor and a great privilege to have gone through that pain, so that we can take that time to be able to relate to people, mm-hmm. to be able to spend time with people, mm-hmm. and say, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
And that there's a big difference between, like, I feel bad for you, and I know how you feel.
Sure.
And so for us, like, we teach everybody that are going through things, like, even when we don't know how they feel, if it's something that we haven't gone through, like for yourself and losing a spouse, I have no idea how that feels.
Sure.
But I do know that you have learned through that, and especially as a man of God, experienced being able to put your trust in him.
Sure.
And I know that if I ever meet somebody that's gone through that, I can lead them to you, and that you'd be able to guide them through that.
Sure.
And so Chelsea and I consider it an honor that God would entrust us with that. One of Chelsea's favorite books in the Bible is the book of Job, which kind of sounds morbid.
No.
But she loves that, because one of the things that that she remembers from that is that God trusted Job. And because he trusted Job to go through those things and respond well, when we go through challenges in life, we consider it that God is entrusting us with this sphere of people or this experience to be able to show his glory through it.
So from your side of your story, what do you want people to know about you and take away from your life? I'm not going to say before the end of the days, because I mean, that's a long way away.
Yeah.
When someone meets you, after they know you or spend time working with you, and then at the end, what do you want people to know? What do you want your sons to know about their dad?
Yeah, I would say, again, going back to that Matthew 6:33, that is what I would like. Every marriage counseling, every business owner, every military person, if you seek first the kingdom of God and you put that first in your life, It doesn't matter how bad your relationships are. It doesn't matter where your finances are. It doesn't matter what kind of storms you're in. Sure. If you seek first the kingdom of God, sure, he will always add everything that you're needing. And I pray that my life and my wife, my family, that we will live this out so that we can keep showing people that no matter what we've gone through, as long as we have sought first God, yeah, he has always brought us through. He's always shown his glory. And I would love for my sons to grow up that way. And it's a crazy ride. It's, yeah, never going to make sense. You know, you, yeah, wouldn't think, like, I started as an introverted, shy kid that went into the military, that then started his own business and now is a pastor and, yeah, speaking in front of hundreds of people. And it's going, all right, God can do whatever he wants to do, mm-hmm, when you seek him first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Would you pray for our listeners on the way?
Yes, I would love to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just pray for everyone who's listening right now. Lord, I ask that you would just touch their hearts today. God, that you'd show them what they were created to do. Lord, I pray that you would open up their minds and open up their hearts. God, I pray that failure becomes an option again. God, that going through failure is only going to lead them to success and the calling that you've created them for. And Father, I pray for a generation that seeks you first. Father, a generation that looks for you, that looks for your heart, that looks for the calling on their lives, so that we can experience the joy that it is to walk out our lives with you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity. And God, we pray that this touches a generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I really enjoyed speaking with Pastor Justin today about his side of the story. You know, we all have a story, and there are at least two sides to it, right? What others think and what we know. People look at our stories sometimes starstruck or sometimes even shock and awe, right? Others look at our lives frustrated. Even some are appalled by what we show them. When we see someone and we feel some kind of way about their life or the life that we see, I encourage you to invest some time in getting to know them, getting to know the real person that's hidden behind their mask, behind their story. What's behind their story? You'll probably be surprised by who you meet for the very first time, especially if it's somebody that you've known for quite a while. There's a reason behind their behavior and even why they keep their house the way they do. So many of us have retreated to the safety that our masks provide. I don't have to worry about being hurt by anyone anymore when I wear my mask. I don't have to show the vulnerable side of myself. Well, best of all, there's no one can see me cry behind my mask. Some of us have grown so accustomed to wearing the mask that we've forgotten that we're even wearing it. We can even get fooled into thinking that the mask shows who we really are. I mean, I get it. We don't have to show who we are and how we live to everyone. We don't have to be transparent with every single person we come across. It's not their business. But we're not meant to be alone. We're definitely not meant to be isolated.
It's been a long time.
Preacher! You got it!
I'm back! This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming. especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drunk through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Yeah, SCP, KD, Robert Earl Dean, got a message for you. It's not over until God says it's over. Let's go.
Be tough, you may be going through. God sent me with this message to encourage you. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for the good. God has a master plan, the power is in his hand. Oh no, no, no. Trust and know. Don't let the trial. Over till God says it's over. Don't let no situations or challenges surround you till God says it's over. No need to let worry or doubt try to stress you out. It's the trick of the enemy. Resist him and he will flee. His promises are true. He will come through. He said if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path.
I have for you.
Oh yeah.